An update on LSA, hybrid power, and a slick new CTLS floatplane. I'm Paul Plack, and this is Aero News. Welcome into the Aero News special feature. Thanks for downloading us today. My guest is Tom Pagini of Flight Design USA, and we're here to talk about a really interesting floatplane based on the CTLS that's here at Oshkosh this year. But first, Tom, I want to welcome you in and tell us just how the state of the biz is.
Hi, Paul. We had kind of a tough go earlier in the year. The last 60 days, business has really picked up, and this show has been a pleasant surprise for us.
Now, I can't forget to ask you about something I saw over in the Aviation Learning Center that reminds me to ask you about an old project. You guys had talked about a hybrid version of the Rotax four-cylinder four-stroke, and I saw something that looked like it could have been your prototype over in the Learning Center in the electric aircraft display. Did that project ever get traction, or did you decide to go forward with that in any way?
Well, it's not a Flight Design USA project. It's being done by Flight Design over in Germany.
Okay.
And yes, the project is going forward. It's a collaborative effort between Rotax Gesellschaft, Flight Design, and the German distributor Franz. They're developing a 40 kilowatt lithium ion hybrid system that's put on the Rotax 914 turbocharged engine.
Okay, and we'll refer listeners to our archives for the podcast we did on that last Oshkosh, but essentially it provides either a 40 horsepower augmentation to the 914 for takeoff power and then recharges in cruise, and it also has some interesting advantages if something should happen to the piston side of the power plant.
That's right. There's a constant speed propeller and an automatic disconnect either with the electric motor or the internal combustion engine. And say the internal combustion engine packed up on takeoff, you'd still have glide extension via the electric motor. It's actually a pretty cool concept.
All right, let's talk about the CTLS on floats. Was this something customers asked for, or is it something that there was research that suggested there would be an opening for? How did this come to pass?
People have asked for it right from the beginning, and we feel we found the correct float. It's Clamar Floats from the Toronto area. Claire Seelye is this gentleman who manufactures them. And it's a aramid fiber, Kevlar, foam core construction with linear actuators, electric linear actuators, to raise and lower the floats.
What does this do to the weight of the CTLS? And what are the implications for the LSA weight limits, and how does it handle?
Well, to start off with, they give an extra 110 pounds for the float, addition of the floats to the airplane. Would have been nice if it was a little more, but... And so the total unit, when you take off the landing gear and attach the floats, there's just under 200 pounds additional, so we lose 100 pounds useful load, which is fairly typical for float-equipped aircraft. The handling so far, it is still in testing, but right off, we've been very pleased with the performance and the handling. They're called Glass Light Floats by Clamar, are very advanced, and we thought it's the first set of floats that really fit the CT. We thought we should have some advanced carbon or composite construction floats to match the CT. It's a four-wheel system with a suspension on the main landing gear, which was really important for passing the drop test requirements. There is a shock-absorbing suspension, and there's some other really slick features that really got our interest. People have been asking for floats right from the start, and we think we found the right float now.
What is the expected rollout of product availability? You know, when will we see this get through testing, and are you taking orders now?
This has not been developed by my company. It's through Airtime Aviation of Tulsa.
Okay.
And their website is flyct.com. Tom Gutman Sr. and Jr. were the prime movers behind it, and they've been working with a group up in Sturgeon Bay, Wisconsin, and Claymar Floats on the development. We're helping with the engineering, and flight design is helping with the engineering, and then our test pilot, Jonathan Carter, is going to go down just after the show and complete the performance data gathering for the aircraft operating instructions so that we'll have a complete package. And this airplane's in the experimental research and development category for 90 days right now, and then we'll complete the certification package and then bring it back into SLSA.
Well, very good. Well, it's a very appealing looking package. It looks nicely integrated, and it looks like it's drawing a lot of attention here. We wish it luck with it.
Thank you very much. It's been about three deep around it the whole show, and they had to go out and print more handout flyers. That's always a good sign.
All right, when we come back from the break, you, aside from being involved in Flight Design USA, you have also been very closely associated with the entire LSA segment. We want to talk to you about just the state of the art, state of the economy, and everything else when we come back. Tom Pagini of Flight Design USA is my guest. Back in a moment. I'm Paul Plack. You're listening to a special feature from Aero News.
This AeroCast segment is sponsored by ForeFlight, makers of ForeFlight Mobile HD, the elegantly designed iPad and iPhone app for pilots. Learn more about ForeFlight's new touch-based flight planning capability. Build complex flight plans and bend routes around weather in just seconds using only your fingers. With HD Nexrad, VFR and IFR charts, terminal procedures, a comprehensive AFD, and now touch planning. Visit us online at www.foreflight.com. ForeFlight. Intelligent apps for pilots.
Diamond's DA-42 Twin Star is General Aviation's ultimate flying machine. Fly fast with the confidence of a twin for the cost of a single. Go direct over water or rugged terrain and cover great distances in the first and only piston aircraft with an advanced airframe, avionics, and engines. The DA-42 gives you options you've never had before, including the Garmin G1000 and known ice protection. Go where you want, when you want, fast and for less. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamond.com. Air.com or call 888-359-3220.
Welcome back to the Aero News special feature. Paul Plack here with Tom Pagini of Flight Design USA talking about the CTLS on floats, and now we're going to talk a little bit about LSAs in general. Tom, you have been obviously... Flight Design has delivered more LSAs than any other manufacturer up to this point. You have been involved with LAMA for a while. I think you're probably a good person to ask this question. You mentioned a few minutes ago that for Flight Design, it was kind of slow earlier in the year, and the last 60 days have been encouraging. Is that a company-specific trend, or do you think that's happening industry-wide?
I think it's happening industry-wide, and we've been taking the temperature of the whole aviation segment by talking to our friends at Dynon, people at Rotax, Phil Lockwood at Lockwood Supply. We can get a pretty good idea, take the temperature of the industry, and things are picking up, thank goodness.
Where do LSAs go from here? I know as the leader in the segment so far, you guys have to be shaking your heads a little bit at how the 100 other, maybe 100 plus other manufacturers, some of whom have sold one or two aircraft in the last 2 years, some of whom have sold no aircraft in the last 2 years, are still hanging out there. It's a very cluttered marketplace. Why haven't we seen some consolidation by now?
Well, first of all, I'm very sympathetic for anybody that's brave enough to get into the aviation business. That's why Dan Johnson and Matthias Betch from our company, myself, Phil Lockwood, other people really believe in the segment. We're enthusiasts. We love airplanes, and we'd like to see everybody do well. That's why we take our time and contribute and volunteer for LAMA. It's a volunteer organization. For the people that are in selling one and two airplanes, it must be a hobby to begin with. But there are other significant players that have been seriously impacted, and you know, again, there's a lot of airplanes out here other than ours. I like ours maybe the best, but there's a lot of other airplanes I'd have, and I wish them all well. Our industry kind of recently took it in the shorts over the FAA assessment, which I think was kind of rough. We've been asking the FAA for help with a cookbook for compliance, or an AC, to help the smaller manufacturers know what compliance is. When you go and look at the FARs that cover our market segment and our certification category, and then look at the ASTM standards, it's a big onion. And you can keep peeling back and peeling back, and there's a lot of interpretation. And I felt that we went through the assessment, and we were one of the manufacturers found to be in compliance. I have no reason, no excuse for not being in compliance. I was part of the ASTM committee that developed the standards, and I'm on the Light Aircraft Board of Director of Light Aircraft Manufacturers Association, and it's our job to be in compliance. So it's not remarkable that we were. That's what we're supposed to do. We've been through the LAMA audit for both of our products, and flight design over in the factory and in Germany have been through a TÜV, T-U-V, Nord audit done to ISO standards. So we're supposed to be in compliance. But the industry as a whole, you know, there are dealers that are not really manufacturers, and there are you know, distributors who are not manufacturers, and perhaps we took it a little seriously. We had engineering help come over from the factory for it, because you know, when the FAA comes to do an assessment, I think you should take it seriously.
Yeah.
We have expected that, and being one of the leaders, I've expected them to come knocking on our door always. So we have had the compliance information and the systems in place right from the beginning. Now, that being said, there is movement now to get more assistance and input from the FAA to help the manufacturers. And I thought that Mr. Babbitt's comments in support of the LSA movement, if you will, was terrific at this Air Venture. We have an administrator right now who is very supportive of GA, is a pilot. He's one of us, not one of them, and I think it's great. The other administrators, from Barry Valentine, Jane Garvey, Marion Blakey, were all extremely supportive of this category, so we have a lot of friends in high places.
Where does that part of it go from here? There are dozens and dozens of manufacturers who have not been through even LAMA's audit. Is this going to be taken more seriously now in terms of, you know, getting their ducks in a row?
Yeah, I think so. I think the message has been heard from the FAA by going out and doing the assessment, and they're interested in going and visiting more manufacturers, and I think that'll give people the motivation they need to come to get the LAMA audit. We feel that the industry can police itself. Part of the issue is that perhaps general aviation looks out, you know, 18 years ahead for the period of repose. Most people in our segment are looking for the next 18 months to where they're going to keep the doors open. And the plus and minus of our industry is that all the management of it from an industry level is volunteer, and everybody's so busy peddling, it's hard to get volunteers. That's why I take my hat off to Dan Johnson, the president of Light Aircraft Manufacturers Association, who has tirelessly supported and represented all the manufacturers, in particular the smaller manufacturers he really cares about, and Jan Friedrich from Czech Republic, the LAA, who represents the Light Aircraft Manufacturers Association over in Europe. They care very much for everyone to be involved, and so does our company president, Matthias Betsch. Even though we are arguably the largest LSA, you know, manufacturer, because we've delivered 325 airplanes, we still are enthusiasts, and we want to see the whole industry do well.
Let me ask you a final question about the audit process. Is a LAMA audit, based on what we've seen through the FAA's open the hood and look in, a reasonable predictor of whether you'll be found in compliance if the FAA does come knocking at your door?
In my opinion, yes. Now, that being said, there are improvements that can be made to it. Right now, the ASTM committee, F-37.20, actually it's a cross-cutting, so it's all just F-37, are developing an audit standard with the input of the FAA, so we can get that nailed down. And in the future, a LAMA audit should put you in full compliance with the FAA's expectations. And I think that's a great thing. I think the industry can police itself. And it seems like we got everybody pulling on the same direction now.
Well, Tom, it's always great to get an update from you because you have a good overview of the industry, and obviously you're in a good position to talk about what works being involved with Flight Design USA. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you, Paul, for having me. I really appreciate it.
Tom Pagini is the president of Flight Design USA. Find out more at flightdesignusa.com. You've been listening to a special feature from Aero News. Find us on the web at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plagg. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.